AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
My guest tonight, a legendary country singer currently on tour with her latest album, Those Were the Days. Please welcome Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton. They're very, very nice. Yeah. It's so nice to meet you, and we're delighted to have you here.
Well, thank you. We watch your show at home, and we have a lot of people that love you a lot. So they couldn't believe I was going to be on the show.
Dolly,
so,
I couldn't.
But here I am.
I thank you. I also couldn't believe you agreed to be on the show.
Well, I was a little nervous. They said, Austin, he's not going to get all political with me. I said, nah, I don't think so.
Can I tell you something? But honestly, I'm just reading off the
top. You?
I don't.
Well, don't get political. I don't know anything about it. I'm about like George
Neither do
Bush,
I.
President. I don't know what to say.
As far as I know, Eisenhower's president. I don't like to follow this sort of thing. But you know what is interesting about you? You transcend red, blue, politics, any of that. Everyone, no one has anything bad to say about Dolly Parton. Everybody loves Dolly Parton. What is the secret, just kindness, goodness, or talent?
Oh, I've just been around so long, I think people just kind of know me. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that know a lot of bad stuff about me, but we don't want to hear from them, do we? We have some fans out there. But actually, I've been in the business for a long, long time. And I like people. I'm not a bit political, but I'm very patriotic. And that's kind of why I did some of these fun songs, to kind of have a voice in all that's going on today, but not trying to make any big statements. But I'm just glad people like me. And it's kind of like liking an older sister or a favorite aunt or something like that, I think.
I think that how people feel about you is not so sisterly and aunt-ish.
You don't think so? Maybe some old horny goats or something out there.
If that's what you want to refer to them as, I think that's fine. Now, Witcher, this is an album. It's called Dolly Parton, Those Were the Days. And you collaborated with a lot of interesting people on this.
I did. These actually were favorite songs of mine from the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And I decided to do them because I'd always loved these songs. And right in the middle of recording, I thought, I wonder how many of the original artists or writers would be willing to sing on this. So I started looking around and asked a bunch of them, like Judy Collins. You know, she sang on, we did Both Sides Now, and Leanne Womack sang with her, and we even got Cat Stevens.
Now, how did you get Cat Stevens, who's, I mean, as far as I know, he is ungettable.
Well, actually, he's been out of the business for the most part, certainly, and out of this country. Yosef Islam, as he goes.
That's his stage name.
Yeah. But I had always loved him, and I've recorded songs of his before. I did a song of his called Peace Train, and he had many years back sent me a a fax and an email saying how proud he was of that. And I think he used the choir that I had used on his peace train on some things he did. And then I wrote a song called Hello God that he had heard on an airplane. And he just faxed me saying it was a song that needed writing and it had touched him. And I know he's very involved in charity. So since I love his songs, I had recorded a song in this CD called Where Do the Children Play? And I thought, well, it's worth a chance. So we sent an email, and Steve Buckingham, who helped me round up a lot of these artists, we kind of collaborated, and he said, sure, I'll come play the guitar. So he did, and we sent it over there. He didn't come here to do it, but anyway.
Dolly, the idea of you and Yusef Islam, like, blackberrying each other. Like, this is, you're like, this whole story is like, I meet him, then he was on a jet, so I get a blackberry, and then
I know, but that's the way it is with writers.
And that's the way it went down, and so you got together. And a sweet man,
He's a precious man. He's just, you know, he's got a lot of bad press here lately, but I think he's out to try to save the world, not destroy it.
Anybody turn you down? Anybody say, Dolly Parton?
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan did that?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, let me be fair to him. He wrote the song, and that's all he needed to do. But I didn't actually speak to him personally. I'd sent a message to him because I wanted him to sing at least one line on The Answer is Blowing in the Wind, you know, at least that much. But I got the message back that he didn't want to do it. So I got Nickel Creek, this wonderful new group, to sing on it. So in a way, it worked out better because had I got Bob Dylan, I wouldn't have them, and they did such a beautiful job.
If I may say this, you are your life force could have infused him with, I think it would have been good of him to just touch you. And it would have been like one of those things where he would touch you and all of a sudden all the like blood would start to go.
Well, actually, in all fairness, I didn't speak to him personally, so I don't know if he actually even got the message from me.
Oh, he got the message.
Yeah. That's what I thought, so.
Please welcome back to the program, Dolly Parton. You can talk to me. Okay. Let me say this. I don't say this to everybody. I've missed you.
Well, thank you.
You were on the show a while ago, and then I haven't seen you in a little while. I miss you. Your personality, it's just very, I guess the word would be vivacious. Is that what they would say?
I don't know, but thank you. Everybody said they loved us together.
Everybody.
And I was excited about that. So I'm happy that you're bringing me back so I can talk about my stuff.
I make the calls or I send the letters. It's not what you would call, let's say, harassment. Tell me about this Joyful Noise. What is it? Is this a movie about gospel? Is this about?
Well, it's all got all this great gospel music in it. Uh-huh. And it's a story about a small town in Georgia that's fallen on hard times. And the economy is bad.
So pure fiction. This is pure fiction.
Exactly. So it's about this church that's always competed in competitions, but they can't afford to do it. So anyway, Christofferson, who plays my husband, he dies early on. He's the choir director. So I think that I should be able to take over the choir.
Sure.
And of course, Latifah, she's a great singer there, and the committee says she should do it. So of course, the rub starts there. So we kind of fight all the way through. But it's about, and there's a lot of fun in it, a lot of laughs.
Now you are in stature, obviously a legend in the business, but physically a smaller individual. Latifah is, if I may, also a legend in the industry, but a larger. Was there ever, was there physical fighting?
Yes. She gets me in a chokehold.
Okay.
And I'm this tiny little thing down here. I'll call us Biggie Small. From that world.
Nice reference.
But anyway, we do at the end, when they sum up this whole thing, she really has me in a chokehold, and she's got me around. She could have hurt me bad if she'd have wanted to, but she didn't. But she's great. She is big. She's what, 5'9", 5'10"?
Yeah, to me, that's, like, yes, that is big. I'd like to say to you, yeah, that's not much, but I look at that and think, oh, God, if only.
But she's great. I love her. Her heart is fun.
It's great. You guys had fun.
Yeah, we had a great time, and the music is spectacular. It's a Warner Brothers film.
You wrote some of this.
I wrote three of the main songs in it, and I had a chance to, you know, to sing all the great stuff that I hadn't had a chance to do. They brought music.
You start in gospel? Is that something that you had done?
Yes, well, I was brought up in the church, Pentecostal, Holy Roller, where we just were congregations.
Same.
We didn't have, like, a choir, but everybody was singing and shouting and praising the Lord and all that.
We Jews are like that, except with complaining. We all get together and do that, like, oh, my back, oh, it's unbelievable.
Well, what's funny about this whole thing, it's very Christian. It's all about Jesus and all these wonderful gospel choirs. Yeah. But it was written by a Jew, Todd Graff, who wrote
It's what we do.
Yeah, I know. But he did a great job. He did a wonderful, he really got, you know.
Were you able to harken back to your days in gospel? Was that just, you know, where you got the love of the music and where it all came together for you?
Yes, my grandpa was a preacher and a great singer, great musician. My mother's people were all very musical, mostly in the church and around in the community. But I wanted to make a business out of it. But I still, to this day, because that's where I learned to sing in church. We always went to church. And I still have a feeling singing gospel music that I don't get in anything
else. Love the sense, and this may be an absolute sort of stereotypical picture that I have in my head of it, of these communities and these families gathered together, and everybody's got the music, and they're all sitting around on a Saturday night and just going around. So I used to look at that and maybe romanticize it, that feeling of, I don't know, just that talent, but also with family and doing it together. Is that made up in my head, or that's
a
real?
No, that's exactly what we used to do, especially my family and my brothers and sisters. We all used to sing, and we used to go around and sing at all the funerals, all the weddings, all the square dances, anywhere there was music in the community, and certainly around our house. And on Sundays, you know, we'd get up in church, too, and do all that special singing. We'd play our guitars and all the instruments, and it was great. So exactly what you have in your mind is how I did grow up, with a family of 12 children, just country people, and the church and the music was what kept us going.
Yeah, after school, what I would do is come home, and there's a key that was put under a carpet, and then I'd go in and heat myself up some SpaghettiOs. So it's very...
Well, we would have prayed for you. We will keep you in our
prayers.
You're
a lovely woman. It's so great to see you again. Come back and see us.
Thank you.
You're going to do a big musical. You're going to come back and see us when that series is going
to
be.
Anytime I get a chance to talk to you, I'll come back and go see the movie. It's
absolutely
great. It's called Joyful Noise.
Beautiful.
And it's fun.
Opens up the theaters on Friday. Joyful Noise.
Yeah,
Dolly Parton, everybody.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
My guests tonight are legendary singer-songwriter Dolly Parton and best-selling author James Patterson. They're here to discuss the novel that they've co-written about the country music industry and the album Dolly wrote to go with it. James Patterson, Dolly Parton, welcome to The Daily Show.
Well, hello, Trevor. How are you?
I could not be in a better place, because you realize I am talking to two of the most successful people in the fields that they do anything in. I mean, James Patterson, you've written books that have gone around the world. I mean, hundreds of millions of people have consumed them. Dolly Parton, we're familiar with your music. I grew up listening to it with my mom. Like, we'd be driving around in our, like, Volkswagen Beetle, singing to your songs with Kenny Rogers, and I would, like, sing your part. My mom would do Kenny Rogers.
Let's hear you do her part now, Trevor.
You can't sing Dolly Parton to Dolly Parton, James. Don't put me on the spot. Run, Rose, Run. It's not dark, but it's thrilling. I mean, it's a really different side to the music industry than I think what a lot of people would have expected. You know, James, I maybe would have expected something like this from you, but Dolly Parton, what made you think, you know what, I'm gonna show you guys maybe another world in music that you might not be familiar with. And yes, it's fiction, but at the same time, it touches on some of the themes that people have encountered in music.
Well, it does. And like I say, I knew all about the business, and I'd never written a novel before. I've written books, written children's books, so I know what it's like to kind of write. But I had often thought I'd like to write a novel when I was older. And so when James presented me with this, I thought, yes, why would James Patterson even be searching me out? And I thought, why? He don't need me. Look at what all he's done. But it made complete sense when he told me what the book was going to be about. And I knew I really could.
Because, you know, I mean, Dolly came out of the hills of Tennessee, and I came out of sort of a similar situation in upstate New York. And the character in the book also, I mean, we were both kind of million to one shots. And the character in the book is a million to one shots. He's very talented, Annie Lee Keys. But that doesn't mean you're going to make it.
But also her story, everybody has a story when they come to town. Everybody's got a past, their childhood and how they grew up. And everybody's story is you know, different. Everybody's life is a soap opera. And so it's really about her story. She was running to something. She loved the music, but she was running from something. So I knew that I could write great songs like all the bad people in town, like Snakes in the Grass, about the bad managers and things, the guys that we, because I've experienced a lot of that myself.
You know, so when we met, so I go back home, and 2 days later I had some notes on for Dolly to react to. She sent me notes on the outline, and she sent me the lyrics for 7 songs.
Well, I
this
got right
2 days.
I had said to him, I said, now look, if I'm not the kind of person that if we're going to work together, I'm not going to just put my name on a book. You know, if you put my name, if I don't really work.
Right,
and I thought,
right.
How am I going to contribute the most to it? And then one day I thought, well, I write songs and I know these stories. Yeah. And I would love to write a book, I mean, an album about these situations and the characters in the movie. So it just seemed to fall so natural, and it just really helped us both, I think. So it was just such a magical thing.
Yeah, it worked very quickly. It was kind of like a TV show where every week we would have another episode or another 2 or 3 chapters to mess around with.
And I really enjoyed it because it just seemed to work so well.
It was fun.
I mean,
I tell you what, the best thing of all, we really become really good friends.
Yeah, we
did. You know, for my birthday, she sang happy birthday to me over the telephone.
I mean, that's all of it.
Well,
it was.
Well,
it was great.
That's everything. The book is already a success in your world just because of that. Actually, James, from your side, you worked with President Bill Clinton writing a book together. Now, yeah. You're a successful author on your own. I mean, this is what you do. You're one of the most beloved authors around the world. But now when you're writing with somebody who has their own points of view, who has their own fan base, who has their own style, I'd love to know how you find a way to meld those two worlds, you know? And the second part of that question is, what were the biggest differences between writing with Dolly Parton and Bill Clinton?
Well, the biggest difference between Dolly's a much better singer, and Bill's a better sax player, I think. You play the sax?
He does play sax, no.
Unless he plays the sax.
Not like Bill Clinton.
You know, they're both great to work with, and they're both friends. I mean, that's the most precious thing to me about both of the relationships. But the authenticity that the president brought, and then the authenticity that we worked on in terms of Run, Runners, Run. And no egos. There was never any bumps in the road, ever. Not one. No bumps.
But I think people are...
Except that she says, I can't sing. I didn't like that.
Well, you can't sing. And let's just move on from there. But I know that for a fact. But he can write. But I really think people are enjoying this book, or going to enjoy it, because I think, like you said earlier, they love to see the inside and the stories of these people. You know, some of the stories behind the scenes, what Nashville is kind of like, kind of gives them an insight into the business end of it, not just the entertainment side.
You know, James, last we spoke, we talked about your family foundation and how, you know, you have scholarships and how you get books out to kids and to just people who want to read, and it's really important to you. Dolly, I didn't know why you got into it. I've always known you as a philanthropist. I've always known you as somebody who loves giving back and, you know, loves getting kids reading and loves donating books. But I didn't know why you got it. Is it true that your father couldn't read, and so you said, you know what, not only is this important to me, but I think it should be important to everybody to be literate?
I absolutely started the Imagination Library because of my father, who I loved to death. And he seemed to always be embarrassed and kind of almost crippled, you know, that he couldn't read, and he thought he was couldn't read after he was grown. But my daddy was so smart and so good, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to start something where children can learn to read when they're in their young days. That's when they're most impressionable. And right. I wanted to get my daddy involved with me in it. So my daddy, I took him with me. He helped with, you know, with all the little things. And he just loved to hear the kids call me the book lady. And I'd say, well, this is my dad. And of course, I didn't say anything about that, but he couldn't read and write at the time. But anyhow, he got to live long enough to see the Imagination Library doing so good. And he was so proud. And so I have to honestly say that's one of the most proud things that I have ever. I'm proudest of that, I mean, as anything I have ever done in my whole career.
That is
because
that is
of
so,
my daddy
yeah.
and because of the kids.
That is so beautiful. I mean, I'm sure he's proud of you. I'm sure, you know, and I'm glad that he got to see it, as you say, in his lifetime.
Yeah.
People have been eternally grateful to your organization for this. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, one of the biggest things that changed my life was my mom spent the little money that she had to get me books, which changed my life forever. I was actually surprised to see that, you know, in I think it was a Kentucky state legislator who said they don't want some of the books that you were offering because they didn't think it was appropriate for young kids. What do you think some people miss in and around, you know, what kids can or cannot read or how we process what we're reading?
Well, I would never in a million years begin to think that I would choose those books. I don't choose. We have a whole committee of people that choose the books that are made up of parents and all different people. So I would never be so bold as to think I knew what other people's kids should read. But it goes through a whole committee. And so we do the best we can. And I'll let people, you know, fight that out. So I just want to be there for the kids. I mean, they're little.
Somebody's
they're
always
from
gonna
birth
be,
to five. I mean, how hard
something.
Can it be?
Yeah.
They're not going to be reading Gone with the Wind, you know. So anyway, we'll let people figure that one out. But we do have other people that choose the books, not me.
James, are you going to try your hand at songwriting? Is this bug going to rub off on your side now?
You know,
no.
the answer is no. But when I was down here at Vanderbilt, you can't help yourself. So I did when I was down here. I did try to write some songs. It wasn't a good idea.
What do you think? What do you think is actually harder, honestly? Do you think it's harder to write a novel or do you think it's harder to write a song for you specifically?
Well, for me, no. For me, I can't, no, because I can't write country songs or any other kind
but
of
songs. But I bet you could. I mean, you're a writer.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
I don't think so.
Could.
The novel thing, I've kind of have a groove on it now.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and all kinds of novels, because I do the kids stuff and then nonfiction and, you know, so we're... You know, I know what I can do and what I can't do. Let's put it that way.
Dolly, on your side, you've said, and, you know, it's crazy that you have wishes that haven't been fulfilled in life yet. But I know one of your wishes is you've said that you wish that Beyoncé would cover Jolene. There are over 400 renditions of Jolene, multiple different languages. People have done it. And you said you specifically want Beyoncé to do that. Are there any updates? Is there, like, do you know of this happening, you know? And why Beyoncé?
No,
maybe that's even more important.
I don't know if she's even got the message, but wouldn't that be killer? I think she's fantastic and beautiful, and I love her music. I would just love to hear Jolene done in just a big way, kind of like how Whitney did my I Will Always Love You, just someone take my little songs and make them like powerhouses. So that would be a marvelous day in my life if she ever does do Jolene.
Dolly, one last thing. You famously donated $1 million for the research that went into helping us get the vaccine for COVID-19. How is it that you've always been on the right side of history? You know, you've said amazing things during the civil rights movement, you know, when many people were far behind. You've said amazing things like, you know, about equality, about women's rights. You've said amazing things now in and around the vaccines. Like, what is the magic of Dolly Parton that you were always on the right side of history?
I just love people. I think we're all God's children. I make no difference in that. I always try to find the God light in everybody. I always keep my ear and eye trained on what's going on. And I saw right away that pandemic was going to be awful. I just sensed it. And I thought, well, what can I do to maybe help a little bit? So I donated the money to the research. And I'm happy I did. I got a lot more credit than I deserved. But I am very proud of whatever effect that I had on that going on, because it's still going on, but I just kind of be aware and want to help when I can. I think when you get in a position to help, you should.
And, you know, the other thing is, you know, Dolly does what Dolly does, but having been around her now for a year and a half, she is the smartest person I've ever dealt with.
Oh, please.
So that's a piece of it.
Well, thank you both for the compliments.
James Patterson, Dolly Parton, thank you for your partnership, and thank you so much for taking the time and joining us on The Daily Show.
Thank
and we
you. This
just
is
love
very nice.
You. You have a lot of fans, too. You've just got that God glow, and I love it. So keep up what you're doing.
Thank you very much. There are a few moments in life that I think my mom would actually, like, consider as me making it. Interviewing Dolly Parton is one of them.
Oh.
Like, of all the things in life, that is it. I'm going to go back to her and be like, huh, this now? And she'd be like, oh, you did one thing. Well done. James, really wonderful seeing you again. Congratulations, guys. It's a fantastic
thank
book.
You.
Well
thank
done.
You thank you so thank much. You. That's very
thank you so much, Dolly. Great meeting you.
Say hi to your mom for me.
I will do. I will do, definitely.
Personally. Sending it right to her.
Okay. I'm going to clip this and send it to her.
All right.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.